Hi everyone, I'm back. It's Tizzy time, and today we're talking about spring cleaning. And what I mean by spring cleaning is, of course, getting yourself ready or prepared for your season or your harvest, and just going in and making sure in all avenues that you're prepared for your blessings. So before we go into that message today, I definitely want to first start by thanking God for waking us up this morning. Everybody should. Happy Sunday. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for allowing us breath in our limbs, breath in our body, breath in our minds, just being able to be the successful person we were yesterday without any, of course, holdups or any, I guess, dang, for lack of a better term, let's just say, we're able to continue being ourselves, which is a blessing. But before I go into my message for today, I want to say three things. Talk about three topics. Initially, I want to say rest in peace to Young Chanel. She was a figure on social media, very bright, intelligent, exuberant, passionate girl, and life was taken from her. So I just want to give a moment of silence for Young Chanel. Yeah, so what I want to talk about today is not only COVID, of course, being a year in fruition or continuing after last year, but I also want to talk about how we think our politicians are doing within, you know, his first 100 days, I guess. I mean, has it been 100 days yet? No, it hasn't, but his precursor to 100 days, how we think Joseph R. Biden is doing. Democrat from Delaware, so double D. So let's start with Joe Biden, and then we'll go into COVID, because I feel like it all, well, actually, let's go into COVID, and then let's go into what Joe Biden has done for his 100 days. So COVID, guys, did you really think this was gonna last a year? Like, if anybody would have told me, like, yo, we're going into this for a year, we have another year to deal with this, are you ready? I'd be like, no, it's not gonna last a year, 6 months tops. But here we are, a year later in circulation, a whole 365 days around this earth, rotation, and we're still here. We're still here. We're still in a place where we can't go outside. We have to wear masks. We have to have a vaccine. If we want to travel, we have to have a negative COVID test before we go. It's just so many predecessors that come before being successful within COVID. I actually had planned a trip, funny enough, to go to Vegas this year with my boyfriend for my birthday. And I'm going to talk about that too, what big step I decided to take for 25. You guys are going to laugh, like, who does that for their 25th? But I'm going to tell you why. But anyway, we were supposed to go to Vegas. We decided to cancel the trip because, I mean, to be fully transparent, we canceled the trip because, I mean, one, I didn't think there was really much to do, and two, I didn't really want to spend my money in Vegas, like, so that's me being honest. So I just canceled the trip, ate the money, whatever. The reason why I decided to cut Vegas off this year for my birthday is because I decided to do something else. And that something else was, for my 25th, I decided to get all my affairs in order. And what I mean by that is using all the money I saved, using all the money I have in my account, the money I will be getting in my account. And what I'll be doing is paying off my bills. Not that I'm behind in bills, not that I'm lacking. I just want to pay off my bills in the future so I don't have to worry, so I can have some financial freedom and start saving for my house. In the next 2 years, I want to buy a house. So, I mean, if that means sucking up a 25th birthday where I'm not around people who want to celebrate my birthday more than me, or people who feel like celebrating my birthday with me equals a plus five experience and friendship, whatever it means, like, I'm being sarcastic, but I rather just use my money towards good and use my money towards me for 1 year in my life. Like, for many years, birthdays, it was spending on other people, making sure everybody enjoyed themselves with me. But for this year, I'm going to make sure I'm enjoying my birthday for me. So that means paying off my car note 3 months in advance. That means paying off my rent 3 months in advance. That means paying off any other bills like Wi-Fi or electricity 3 months in advance. Just being in a space where I don't have to worry about my current bills and my current stipulations, and I could be set to save for my house so that when the time comes that I move into my house, I don't have JCPL questioning me about being behind or, you know, because I decided to put $500 towards a hotel for the weekend for my birthday or something dumb like that. Like, so I decided to just have a nice intimate dinner with my significant other, my family, and whoever else wants to go out to dinner. I'm going to buy my dining table. I haven't had a dining table yet. Not to laugh, it's not funny, but I don't have a dining table yet. Like, I'm sitting on this bar stool. I've been eating at, like, a bar stool on, like, a island, in my, like, a fake island in my kitchen. But, I mean, like, I'm content. Like, so, but now it's time to be like, you know what? I want to have a dining table. I want to have a birthday dinner at my table that I bought for my birthday. So, that's my plan instead. But not to delve too much in that topic because my birthday's not for another 3 weeks. So we really don't care right now, Tizzy. But we're going to be talking about, how did I jump from Joe Biden and COVID to my birthday? Well, my birthday happened around COVID, so it kind of links up. But basically, my birthday last year, COVID started a week before, and I was destined to get outside. I'm going outside. I'm getting drunk. It's my birthday. I'm turning 24. And I wind up getting my hair done by the best Jessica, of course. I bought a bunch of clothes from my old employer, where I worked. Everybody by now probably knows the department store I worked at, so use your imagination and fill in that blank. Got a nice outfit from there, did my makeup, got my lashes done, everything, did a whole to-do. And I just sat in the house and drank and got drunk. And then when my actual birthday came up, I got drunk again and did nothing. Like, my parents had made me a birthday dinner that was great and bought me a cake. And then my boyfriend had bought me Classe Azul, which at the time I didn't know was like a big brand or whatever. So he bought me that. And it's like, I had a birthday that was very low key and functional, and I still enjoyed myself. I mean, I was able to, by sacrificing my birthday last year, not only was I able to go out and purchase an apartment or rent an apartment, whatever you call it. I don't know, like, how people level things, but I was able to rent my apartment and get furniture and literally step into my next chapter by sacrificing. So this year I'm going to do the same, and let's see where me sacrificing my birthday will take me. Hell, I might have my house next year. Who knows? Might have my house in December. Who knows? Like, anything is possible. So to, of course, piggyback off that COVID thing, COVID has not only hit people for their personal holidays, but a lot of family as well. I mean, my dad just had a birthday 2 weeks ago. Well, last week. Well, it depends on how you look at it, because this is the start of a week, so 2 weeks, whatever. But my father had a birthday party not too long ago, and it was good to see not only family members I haven't seen in a while, but friends of my parents that I haven't seen in a while, like family, well, friends that became family, like my goddad and his wife, who was my godmom, and, like, you know, things like that. And to see, like, I got to meet my Uncle John, my dad's brother, who I've never met, who looks exactly like my granddad, and it's like, it's crazy. So, like, I got to meet my uncle and his wife. I got to see my aunt and my uncle, who I haven't seen since Christmas. I just got to see a lot of people who I haven't seen in a while and be around some love, and it was nice. Like, even to see my grandparents, who never leave their house. They didn't even leave their house during Sandy. To see them leave and, like, be around love and, like, just be comfortable and happy to see everybody, it was beautiful. Like, it was everything. It was good to see everybody. I'm sorry, I had a blank. But yeah, COVID has taken a lot of people away from family, and, like, not being able to be there and see everyone is, like, honestly, it's heartbreaking, it's heart-wrenching to not be able to see your family or friends for some time. I mean, 2 days ago, I got to see my friend who I haven't seen in forever. Like, she's in school at the moment, but, like, to see her in the house, I was fiend. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it was just so good to see people I haven't seen in a long time. I mean, the last time I seen Jade was, damn, I can't even remember. I would want to say her birthday, but definitely after that. I would say the summertime of last year, COVID. And I haven't seen her since then. So it was really good to see a friend who I haven't seen in a while and just be around friends from high school or people from high school I haven't seen in a while and just see their growth and their progression. And it was really nice to see people. Like, it was really nice. But yeah, so COVID hasn't really allowed us that. But I feel like a lot of people are being more frivolous with their time with COVID. Like, I mean, it's been a year. You can't have people locked up or in a certain like bubble for too long, because a lot of people don't like being an experiment, or a lot of people don't like being in a boat where they feel like they can only do one of two things. But I mean, you know, who's to say that, dang, I'm having a blank. I'm here in the background. Who's to say, you know, these people are wrong? I mean, Texas, Mississippi, right now, they're lifting their mask mandates. They're lifting COVID restrictions because you can't tell people to go out. They can't go outside anymore. Atlanta and Florida, I don't mean to put Atlanta as a state, excuse me. Georgia and Florida are just basically like, F it. There was never COVID. So, I mean, to live in like the tri-state, to live in New York, to be in an area where our mayors, or the people who are protecting us, in actuality, a lot of people feel like, you know, they're not doing their jobs, or they want New York open. And I feel like New York with 16 million people in comparison to Atlanta with probably a quarter of that or half of that, I think that we should, you know, just relax. I mean, it's not that serious to get back outside. I've been saying this since last COVID. What are you rushing to get back outside for? I mean, initially when it was my birthday and I couldn't do nothing, hell yeah, I was upset. Like, of course. But I was in a space where I had active employment. My bills were paid. My bills are paid. But doing whatever I could to, you know, make sure I was in a healthy financial situation. I was fiscally responsible, but I mean, it was no rush to be back outside or be in this place where I felt like, I had to be outside. I have to be in this place. I have to be in that place. And it's like, I don't. If I don't want to, I really don't. Yeah, so that's really my opinion on COVID. I don't really have much else to say about COVID. I mean, we're still living in it. What the hell do you want me to say? Like, look outside your window. Go to your supermarket. You're wearing masks. I was to the point where I remember COVID first started. I'm like, I'm not wearing a mask for what? And then I got back from like a little mini vacation for my birthday. I had went to like Atlantic City for my birthday. And then like, I was like, oh no, we need masks like immediately. I don't know why, what did the shift, but just started wearing my mask. So, and funny enough, Jersey was actually one of the first states to have curfew, mandate masks, etc. So I was in Jersey pretty heavy before COVID hit. And that's why I wound up moving out here, because like, I just knew like Jersey is where I wanted to be. Like, cause you know, besides of course the beautiful Garden State where you drive into hypnosis, you definitely have a different quality of life out here. No offense to the city. Not saying that you don't have a quality of life, but different cultures, different environments. Like, it's one thing to go outside of New York City and you're all day and be out, and it's the city that never sleeps. When you want that, you go get that. But sometimes you do want to go to sleep. Sometimes you want that suburban life, and sometimes you want to just relax and have quiet in your house. You don't want to look outside and neighbor A is beefing with neighbor D, you know? Sometimes you just want to have a peaceful sleep, and I have that luxury here in Jersey. So, continuing on, Joe Biden, Joseph R. Biden. What do you guys think about how he's doing in his presidency, or in his 100 days, or how do you think he's, you know, leveraging the country so far? Funny enough, I had a conversation with two of Mizzy's cousins, and we were literally having a healthy debate, which I love, because if you can't have a healthy debate, with someone with opposing views, or someone with views that may not match up to yours, and they give you insight, that's a successful debate or successful discussion to me. So we were just talking about Trump versus Biden, and one of his cousins said, you know, Trump put us in a place where we can all be successful, where we were all opening up business, where we were being one person, one people, the American people versus, you know, all. And a lot of people took offense to that, and including myself, and I'll explain why. I felt like Trump is a racist. I still feel like Trump is a racist and a rapist. But one thing about Trump, he allowed us to see what this country is still about, that racists are still open and out. He let that be transparent for us. Two, he not only allowed us to get money from, like, let's keep it a buck, no other president was doing that for us. Like, if Trump didn't initiate it, you think Joe Biden would be giving us $1,400? He has to do that because he promised that got him into office. So that's kind of his, you know. But not to stray from that, what I'm saying as far as Trump is, Trump put us in a position where not only were we able as the American people to be in a place of, you know, success or start our form of generational wealth, he put us in a place where we saw the hate firsthand. It's been very, like, hidden over the past couple of years. Everybody's like, oh, racism's gone. He's giving these racist active rights. I mean, to me, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kentucky, Missouri, Texas, Oklahoma, all of those states are racist to me. They've been racist. I mean, you have to keep in mind, the majority of black population is not there. So seeing a black person, you'll be like, now imagine, let's put it in retrospect. And this is another thing his cousin said, which I really liked. We as black people are so excusable until it comes to us. Like, other races can beef and we find it funny. But as soon as it comes to us, it's not a joke. And let me further explain. Let me get in depth. Mizzy's cousin just said she had an Asian brunch. And she's like, oh, like, you know, I love the idea. It was great. But now it really made me think, what if Asian people was having a soul food barbecue? How would we feel? And that really put that in perspective for me, because I'm like, what if they did? Like, I automatically got offended. And why would I get offended? Because when she was talking about an Asian brunch, I didn't feel no way. I was like, oh, that's nice. You probably had the chopsticks, the aesthetic, the kimonos. That's dope. But if you really think about it, that's not really okay, especially if you don't know the culture, which a lot of us don't. Me especially, I don't know the culture. Like, what if there's a certain way you put your chopsticks on one side, or a certain way you tie your kimono, or a certain way you pour your tea? There are certain restraints to cultural appreciation, I like to say, versus appropriation. Now, what if you see a bunch of Asian people in Kaiser Park playing Return of the Mac, wearing, I don't know, Tim's, I don't know, what's a, something that's African-American clothing, I don't know, I don't like to mask clothing, because clothing is so, like, ambiguous to me. Like, anybody could wear clothes to me, especially if, and like, black culture, I mean, let's say kente cloth, I mean, African-American culture and African culture is very different, but I'll just say they're wearing kente cloth, or even, let's say my culture, I'm Bajan, they're wearing Bajan flags, and speaking in a bad Bajan accent, and eating, fish cakes and couscous and salsa and pudding in salsa, excuse me, or like drinking Mabi, just being mad Bajan, playing walk-up music, pretending they're on the park. Would I get offended if I didn't know their culture? Absolutely. I feel like I automatically got offended when she said that. Like, yeah, why would you need fried chicken and cornbread at a barbecue? That's not really. But we have to think about that as African-American people. Why are we so protective of our culture, but we don't mind embracing or breaking into other cultures? Why are we so different? So that really gave me a food for thought. Hopefully it'll give you a food for thought too, and you can give some feedback on what you think about culture bonding. Let's say that, let's call it that, culture bonding, and how we amongst people bond amongst cultures, and the difference between cultural appreciation and cultural appropriation. So but yeah, basically, with Joe Biden and Trump, I feel like their presidencies are very different. And for Biden, a lot of people are like, he didn't do what he promised yet. He said he was going to do this. I mean, it's only been a month, guys. A month and maybe like 2 weeks. So like 7 weeks he's been in office. And you have to remember, like, even though the majority is Democrat and the majority is Democrat in both the House and the Senate, you have to be mindful that it is also Republicans in the mix who are fairly angry that they are looked at as coup enablers, that they're racist, that they don't care for the people, and that, you know, they just got their party figure or their figurehead out of office. So a lot of Republicans are mad. me personally, I'm neither Democrat or Republican. I'm a progressive. So to tell you a little bit more about what a progressive means is that I'm for whatever, literally it's in the name, whatever progresses the country or increases improvement with amongst people and cultures and amongst parties. Progressive, moving along. So another person that's progressive who I've been watching since I was in college is Trevor Noah. And with Trevor Noah, as a progressive, he jokes on both sides. No side is safe from the wrath of how he feels things are being handled. So I'm going to do the same as a progressive. I feel like Joe Biden can be doing so much more. All the politicians can be doing so much more. I mean, we're in a pandemic, a panoramic, a panache, a pretzel, whatever you want to call it with a P. We're in this thing where we as people don't know, a lot of people don't know where their next check is coming from. A lot of people, their health insurance is not in a place where they can keep up, so they may not get the vaccine. There's a bunch of people out of work. I mean, like right now we're at dire times. I mean, like the CDC is giving warning about a zombie apocalypse. Like, who knows what's next? So I feel like our politicians, the people in power, the people who have money, who have status, wealth, etc., should really be in a room. Excuse my language, but fuck, you know, parties and views and beliefs. The people should be first. And I feel like, funny enough, Trump was the person who put the people first. I mean, I'm gonna get a lot of flack. Oh, but he's racist. Who isn't racist? The your best friend is racist. I have a black friend. Like people have to realize, like, let's stop being so open with the racist word. Racist meaning, like, I don't like, when I define racism, I like to define it in its light. In its light, I mean, what is it doing to you? How is it making your life worse? And being called the N-word, being called nigger, being called any of those things, how is that stopping your life? I mean, not to be rude, but like, you have to think about it. A word is not going to stop me from living my life, especially if somebody's called me the N-word and they're doing progressively worse than me, or they're old as hell. And like, a person who was born in racism looking at me calling me an N-word, that's all you can do. You get what I'm saying? That's literally all you can do. You're in a point in life where your white privilege is really diminishing. You can call me the N-word, but guess what? You're not taking my housing away from me. You're not pulling me out of my house at 2 a.m. and killing me. You're not putting a cross on my front lawn and burning it. Like, we have progressively grown from what racism really is. Like, really hating a race, killing a race, doing whatever, everything in your power to make sure that race stays down. And I feel like nowadays that term has to be explained. Racism is different from discrimination. So if somebody's calling you an N-word or making stereotypes, that's discrimination. That's not racism. Now, if you're in blackface and you're doing something to literally put down the opposing race, or a race that is not superior to you, like, remember what racism is. Racism is thinking you're superior to another race in all aspects, doing whatever you can to keep that superiority. And I feel like in America, we're not in that anymore, and the racists see that, and that's why they're fighting so hard. Why else do you think they're fighting so hard? Like, think about it. Not only do black women lead the graduation rate in America, we are the fastest growing rate of entrepreneurs there are. We own the buying and the spending power. Now, don't get me wrong, we also lead in abortions. We also lead in institutionalization, where we're in jail. Like, but don't let that get, I mean, no longer will we, because they're starting to let people out for crack, cocaine, weed, all these, of course, all these decriminalizations where they're allowing people to come home now. So don't get me wrong, I get it entirely. We used to be in a bubble where we were jailed, where we were targeted, where we were shot by police without any warning, or any warrant. But I feel like now we're in a place where we're assimilating, we're breaking these barriers, we're making people uncomfortable in the places we could never work. And funny enough, I was telling Mizzy's cousin yesterday, Drea, like, I hate, not hate literally, but I'm tired of getting interviewed by non-people of color for positions, because not only am I 10 times more qualified than a lot of the people interviewing me, it's just like, where are the people who are these leading number of entrepreneurs? Where are these women graduating? Where are these black women in power? Where are they to interview me? Where are these black men to interview me? And it's just still like kind of like hit or miss. So, I mean, we're growing, we're glowing. We're glowing and growing black people. I mean, we're not our ancestors. We weren't where we were 60 years ago, thank God. I mean, think about if they never let racism go, or they never let segregation go, Jim Crow laws, how would you be in a bubble now? Like, do you believe that these Trump, Make America Great Again people are realistically the same people who, well, technically they are, but I mean the same people who are really going to be out there and kill you because of your color or put a crucifix on your house? No. These racist people are 70 years old now. You push them down the fucking steps. They're fucking arthritis or osteoporosis. So 1, 2, 3, break them. So it's like, don't let it stress your head. Don't let it stress your head. That's what I want to say. And to Donald Trump, you're still racist. You're a rapist. And yeah, like, do better as a person. Like, I get what you're trying to do for the community. Cool. But that doesn't get over the type of person you are and a privilege you acquired and used to make you successful enough to be president. So definitely some self-actualization for Donald Trump. A lot of shadow work. And hopefully maybe by the time he's like 85, 90, or like when he's on his deathbed, he'll be a better man. Maybe he'll finally apologize to the Central Park Five. Maybe he'll finally denounce white supremacy. Maybe he'll, you know, be the person who gives his money towards reparations. Who knows? Everything is for a loop. But, you know. But now, to get into the main topic, because I'm already almost 30 minutes in and I hate podcast that drag, because I feel like a lot of people tune out within a 15-20 minute mark, and that's statistics that teach me that too, guys. Podcasting research, do it. Spring cleaning, I have the notes in my phone, so please bear with me. I like to write before I talk, because it's like I could ramble and I'm a rambler. So the topic for today is spring cleaning. And what I mean by spring cleaning is these four bullet points, these four ideals, these four rules to live by, whatever you want to call it. And the first one is removing negativity. And what I mean by removing negativity is you're an adult. Even if you're not an adult, if you're in that place where you're making decisions for yourself, let people go who are no longer serving you or have a purpose to your life. Let them go. There's nothing wrong with that. Let those people go. They're not helping you build. They're not planting your seed. They're not helping your garden grow. So let that negativity go. That's the first bullet. And what I mean by removing negativity is exactly what I'm saying. No sugarcoating, no metaphor. Literally, remove negativity. If it doesn't serve you or it doesn't purpose you, let it go. That's family, that's friends. Shit, that's your kids. If not, I'm just joking. please, ACS, don't sue me. Just whatever's not serving. I gotta stop being. I'm being serious. I'm getting it together, y'all. Whatever does not serve you or whatever you feel like is no longer has a purpose in your life, let it go. Let it go. That's the first bullet. The second is prepare for an increase. It's your season. Your time is coming. Get right with God. Talk with God. Pray. Write down a list of ideals, a list of affirmations, a list of anything that'll help you get in your mindset or your space to go after your dreams and pursue your goals. Prepare for that increase because it's coming. God got you. It's coming. It's your time to shine. Whatever you prayed for, whatever you've been asking for is coming. And it is so. Like God said, and it is so. So just make sure you're trusting God's time. You're putting in that work, because prayer without works is dead. So make sure as you're praying, make sure you're working. You're doing the work. 50-50. The next one, getting right with yourself. And I want to add a mini bullet or a precursor to what I mean to that. Get right with yourself. And what I mean by that is prepare for what you pray for. Get right, prepare, do whatever's necessary so you're on your best foot forward and you're in your best mindset that when God is giving you everything you're asking for, that you're receiving it. Nothing more, nothing less. Get ready. It's your season. Like I keep saying, Number four, obtain your goals. Chase after your dreams. I want to give a little personal anecdote to what I mean by that. So when I say obtaining your goals, I mean obtaining your goals. And basically, to expand is chase after your dreams. Do what you do for fun. If it's painting, start using your painting to generate income or generate some form or some avenue that'll help that craft will help you in the long run. If you like talking, start a podcast. If you like being the life of a party or you have that personality, join a YouTube. It's our time to shine. It's our time to really, look, we're 24, 25, some of us are younger, some of my friends are older, whoever listens to the podcast, it is your time. Start putting in, put your seeds in your basket, start sowing your oats, start planting your seeds. Start planting your seeds. And reap what you sow. If you really want to progress and be a person who's doing better, then fucking do it. Not effing do it, but do it. Do what you need to do for you. Progress. Increase. Do better. And it's not for anybody else but yourself. If I cannot stress this enough, do not do something for yourself that you feel will put everybody else on the map. Ply share something on Twitter. On Instagram, that was something significant. 99.9% of people will get money and use it to stunt instead of investing or increasing themselves. Fuck what everybody else thinks on Instagram. That piece of clothing, that car, that, let's say for example, anything that's material, anything that doesn't really increase or put a avenue in your life, let it go. That sweater is going to keep you warm, but for how long? That car is going to keep you warm for how long, though? Stop letting material things or stop letting a piece of status that social media portrays be your piece. You don't have to follow. These celebrities, yeah, they're posting. They look like they live in life, enjoying. But you really have to sit back and ask yourself, what did they do to accomplish this? What hard work are they doing behind the scenes that they get to live this life? No hard work goes unnoticed. Like they say, prayer without works is dead. You think Quavo just woke up one morning and became a Migo? You don't think they were working hard? Migos came out in 2010, 2011. They really didn't pop off realistically to about 2016, 17. Do you think if they knew, and I always use this, but do you think if everything you pray for, if God laid it out for you, told you everything you had to go through, for example, say you like, God, please, I want to be a superstar. I want my family to, their bills to be paid off. I just want to be in my season. Now, if God sits there and says to you, all right, no problem, but you're going to have your cousin die. You're going to have 2 deaths in your family. You're going to get pregnant. Then you're going to lose a baby. Then you're going to go homeless. Then you're going to be poor. But in that last step, when you really, you know, worried about giving up, let's say, for example, and I'm not going to wood because I don't want nothing to stop me, but your car got repossessed or your furniture got repossessed and you're on your last limb of life and you're like, God, I can't do this anymore. And then God bestows everything upon you, everything you pray for. Would you go through with it? 50% of people would not. 50% of people would not. Maybe more. I've been in many seasons where I had to look back and be like, damn. Like even now, like I made a joke about it on TikTok, but last year, 2 years ago, I was on the verge of death. Like I was in college partying, having fun. And then one day I couldn't breathe. I had to have emergency surgery. I had to remove half my thyroid to live a normal life. If you do think if God came to me and was like, well, you're going to have half a thyroid. You're gonna take forever to get your master's. Your thesis is not going to be complete until a year later. You're going to do all these things. You think I would say, okay, God, I'm ready to go through the season? Absolutely not. But now if God said, you know what? I'm going to bring you the love of your life. You're going to move out of the state. You're going to get the job you want. You're going to get the pay you want. Everything's going to go. You think I would sit there and do a yay for a nay? Honestly, probably not. Because when I wasn't, one, I wasn't ready for that chapter. And two, I was in a place where if God really came to me, I don't think I would be prepared to be in that season. Like, oh yeah, because I wasn't. That's why I'm so big on prepare yourself for that season. You have to be prepared. You have to be fully prepared to walk into a season. You can't just go because you believe you're ready. Really be ready. Trust God's timing as well. I'm a big person who plays on patience. I have no patience. I'm a very impatient person. I want what I want and I want it now. I literally had to take a step back and say, you know what, God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust your timing. I trust everything you have going on for me. Everything. You think if I didn't, I would be in this boat? I mean, so many things have happened to me in the past couple of months. And like I said, I'm going to be transparent. I lost both jobs. In the beginning of January, I had two jobs. Making over $75,000 a year. Was comfortable. And then because of COVID and because the company was losing money, I lost both of my jobs. Well, one job, they were racist, I'll say it. But the second job, not racist, but discriminatory, let's say that. And then the other job, it just was in a place where they have their CEO posting on behalf of the social media now because they didn't have money to keep paying me. So it's like I had to step in. Not only was I depressed, because that's something to be super depressed about, not having a job. Especially so, within social media, you really put your all in. But do you think if God came to me now and was like, I made you lose those two jobs because you have a bigger job coming, or I have a bigger job in place for you, do you think at that, in that moment, I would? Absolutely not. No. So my thing is, prepare for your season. Prepare for your season. If anybody know what it's like to be in a season where you're stressed, you're depressed, you're in a place where you don't feel like it's right, trust God. Trust God. He trusts you. He wakes you up every morning. He gives you life in your lungs. He gives you breath in your lungs, motion in your arms and your legs, and knowledge in your brain, breath in your body, like things he does not have to do. Really take a moment to step back and analyze yourself and pray. Ask God for guidance if you really don't know. And for the people who, I don't believe in God, well, then fine. Believe in yourself. Put that energy towards something. And like, this is not to like downgrade or play anybody who don't believe in God, but damn, if you leading your life, how the fuck are you struggling? Damn. I know life has its moments, but if you really don't pray for guidance or do anything and you go to yourself, then why the fuck are you not on top? Like the people who describe, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but you are doing this and that without guidance, without courage, without trust in the Lord. And where are you? Where are you? You're in the same boat as me, if not worse. So it's like we have to get right with God. That's the overall message. Get right with God and then get right with yourself. Improve your craft. And I'm going to say the four things I said again. At 2:35, my divine time. Remove negativity from your life. Prepare for increase. Get right with yourself and obtain your goals. Simple as that. Simple as that. Simple as that. Do what you got to do for yourself. We're getting older. We have to start setting foundation for our life. Yeah, let's have fun. Let's do what we have to do. But at the end of the day, we're coming on. We're almost 30, y'all. A lot of y'all should be wanting to make goals. A lot of y'all should be attaining houses, cars, etc. Fun is forever. Would you not rather have fun at 35, 40 when all your shit is together? Or would you rather have fun now so then when you're 30, 40, you're penny pinching, or you're looking for a place to stay, or you're still living with your parents? And there's nothing wrong with living with your parents. But a lot of you guys' parents don't want you living with them. Don't even have to be nothing with you. And then there's another spectrum where your parents are, save your money, we give you a easy living environment, and then, you know, do what you got to do. But 50% of you guys, your parents don't want to live with y'all. Set that money up and move out. We're 25 plus. Some of us are 30 plus. We have to be in a place where we know that people who feel like we need them, we need to know that. We need to let them know that the only person you need is yourself and God. Don't depend on nobody at all. No one. Family included. Sad to say like that, but Sometimes your family has the mentality, but I want you doing good, but never better than me. And it's like, but I'm already doing better than you. What are you doing for yourself to better so that we're on the same level? And also, you're never going to increase looking on competition. A lot of y'all be too fucking old at y'all big age to still be wanting to compete. Grow the fuck up. Live your life. Live your avenue. Live your lane. It's like driving. If you're looking at the person behind you or the person to the side of you, you're going to slow down. You're going to be cautious. But if when you focus on your lane and you're looking forward and you have tunnel vision, 9 times out of 10, you'll be successful in your journey or what you have to do. But when you're a hater and you're looking at, oh God, why them? Why not me? Look at the person in the right lane. Look at the person in the left lane. Look at the person behind me. You'll never, the middle lane, your middle lane will be clogged up, traffic, because you're worried about what everybody else is doing. Focus on you. That's the message of the week too. Focus on you. A person who respects you, who loves you, who cares about you, can only respect that you're getting right within yourself. Simple as that. And if they don't, then they don't understand. And that's when you have to like relay and really pass the message along. Like, focus on you. Focus on you. I'm sorry, that was really powerful, because it's something I'm going through, and it's something that I've been going through for a while, about being your own man and focusing on yourself. Because everybody's going to get into a point in time. Maybe you're not there yet, maybe you are there, but you just don't know how to, like, but trust me, God will show you the way. And I'm in about, okay, I'm almost done. I'm about to wrap it up. Then I wanted to talk about Tizzy TV. So during this podcast, I actually recorded myself while talking about some topics. I should have recorded myself while I started. I was giving the main message of spring cleaning, obviously, but it's okay. Things happen that way. However, I want my YouTube and my podcast to be two different entities. So I'm kind of happy that I didn't put the message on board. It gives me more of a, for lack of a better term, it gives me more leverage on, you know, having people listen to the podcast, and then also having my YouTube as something different. So that's cool. But yeah, I want everybody to take this message and really take it with a grain of salt. Pray, really get in tune with yourself for your season, because it is coming with or without you. And it's better to be prepared than to watch it go by and then ask God why. Like, why wasn't I prepared for my season? Because you didn't take the necessary tools to prepare. So speaking of seasons, I have something very major coming up. I'm not going to really spill any tea. Well, I got a couple of things major coming up, but I'm not spilling tea. You guys will have to stay tuned within the coming weeks about my big announcements. But one thing I can say is that it's something that you're used to, but it's going to be a bigger platform, more people, something that will really relate to the culture, and I'm excited about it. And I'm not gonna be loose lips, because loose lips sink ships, but it is something that is very exciting, and it's gonna be super popular, and you guys are gonna love it. And then yeah, I just hope to keep updating you with success from my season and letting you guys know about my journey with God and my journey with spirituality and getting right with myself. And please do share, guys. I love to hear people's, you know, perspectives on how their lives are going and how do they feel about certain aspects. It's important. It's important to me. And I'm honestly excited. And yeah, please do give feedback. I also want to talk about signing up for my podcast. So I do want more guests. I'm thinking about opening up to a Zoom platform where I can do interviews with those who are into fashion, those who are into their own business, those who are into creativity in some form of way, and to come and give your 15 to 30 minute spiel about what your company is about, what you're about, just open into the message. And that's something I really love. I'm actually gonna open, because when I tell you guys to sign up, you guys don't, which kind of pisses me off. So I'm gonna actually reach out to a couple of people, do some outreach where I'm able to see what people are interested in and if they want to come on and, you know, promote themselves and promote what they do. So yeah, that's really pretty much it. I mean, I talk crap for about 45 minutes. Nope, not even 45 minutes. I'll say about 30 minutes, because then I started talking some RS, real shit. So, so of course, let me know what you thought about the podcast. Please give your feedback, share this, tweet it, Instagram it. I mean, promotion is free. Promoting a friend, letting that outreach be known is free. And we as a community, not only as a Black community, but a community that wants to uplift and be the community that cares for all and is very open, because that's what I feel like this generation is. We protect each other. We're not like the boomers or like Gen X or whatever. I don't even know. I might be, they say I'm a millennial, but I don't know. Like, I haven't studied like demographics since I was in marketing, so who knows? But millennials are what the old people call us. Us millennials, I think we are opening the world up to be something bigger than all of us. And keep doing what you're doing. Fight that fight. Fight for all. Cancel whoever you got to cancel if you feel like their message is not correct. Let me stop, because when I become famous, they're going to cancel me for sure. I know some tweets and shit are going to pop up. But it's, joke's on you. I deactivated all my personals. I only got business accounts now, BB. Oh, yeah, that's something I want to talk about, too. I didn't even say, I think I said that last podcast, but since December, Christmas Eve, I decided to deactivate all my personal Instagrams. So Shantizzy, Chantel on Facebook, Snapchat. Like, I'm not on any platform. I'm honestly just really on Instagram right now at the moment, doing my podcast, because I low-key lost the login and removed myself as a freaking admin to my Facebook. So if anybody could tell me how I could, like, basically, like, sign back into my Facebook for the Shantizzy podcast, that'd be great. And yeah, just Twitter, Facebook, Instagram for Shantizzy podcast. Like, and I'm posting from Instagram via my Facebook. So, oh, and I also want to talk about Tizzy TV real quick. I know I keep saying bye, but besides, of course, talking about me, showing off my life, etc. on Tizzy TV, I also want to do a lot of reaction videos. I want to do feedback videos. I also want to do videos where I'm teaching a skill. So yes, I will be showing how to edit videos. I will be showing how to do your own podcast. I will be showing how to do some graphic design. Just teaching you guys about a skill that I have. Even website content, some PR stuff, building your own social media account, how to watch metrics, Sprout social analytics, things like that. Just to like open it up. And I do want to invite people who have a skill set of their own to come on Tizzy TV and teach it. Whether it be my good friend Kyle showing how to the process and how he does his clothing line, or my brother who shows the process in his clothing line, or his, say for example, Kyle again, his process in rap, or my friend Noni, who's a teacher, how she goes about, you know, retaining material or teaching the children, like any avenue, or even my mom to come on and show what it's like about commercial insurance. Like, we are a community who have to continuously build and show each other the way. Generational wealth is not just about money. It's about knowledge and it's about skill set as well. So let's continue on the wave, guys. And that's pretty much it. That's all my time for today. I hope you guys like the podcast. Please let me know what you like. And Alexis, I'm sending it to you first. Miss, I'm not consistent. You never post. So yeah, that's really it. Oh, and then Friday, we'll be back. The topic this week is about generational wealth. We're going to be talking about it. I'm going to have Mizzy on it about how we want to be generally wealthy for our children, and maybe my parents, how they did the road to generational wealth for us, and any news they have. So, yeah. All right, guys, you have a frugal week. I hope blessings come upon you. And God bless. Love you all. Peace out.